ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वबुधेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टिकी। Hare Krishna. Okay. Today we will be reading from Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verses 11 to 16. Okay. So before we begin, I'll just give a short overview of what will be happening in today's verses. These are actually the narration of Sukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj begins from these verses. Okay. And here Bhagavatam begins from the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, there were two, Duryodhana, the bad guy, and Yudhishthira. It was battle between them. And now the circumstances is almost at the end of the battle, where Duryodhana was almost to die. Okay, his spine was broken by Bhima and he was about to die. At this time, one of the person in Duryodhana's party, Ashwatthama, he went to the Pandavas' side and he killed all the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas. Okay, so and then he brought the head of this head of those sons of the Pandavas and he brought to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana wasn't happy because it's considered very heinous to kill someone who's sleeping. Okay, and then when the mother of these sons, Draupadi, came to know about their death, she was also very much pained to know how her sons were killed in a very terrible manner. So Draupadi's husband, Arjuna, pacified her and then he told, I'll take revenge. I'll kill Ashwatthama and bring his head back to you. So that's where today's class ends and tomorrow we'll see what happens. Okay, so can we read the translation from verses 11 to 16?
Text 11 translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendently powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Suta Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Sonika. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of Lord Sri Krishna and the topics of the birth, activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage among kings, as well as the topics of renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu.
When the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destination. And when the sons of Dhritarashtra fell down, lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimsena, the son of Dronacharya, beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered them as a prize to his master. Foolishly thinking that he would be pleased, Duryodhana, however, disapproved of the heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least.
Draupadi, the mother of the five children of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify her in her great loss, Arjuna spoke to her thus.
O gentle lady, when I present you with the head of that Brahmana, after beheading him with arrows from my Gandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then, after burning your son's bodies, you can take your bath standing on his head.
Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as a friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statement. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons, and getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher.
Okay. This is very loose, it's just dropping. Okay, please respond.
Yada mrde kaurava sunjayanam vireshvato viragatim gateshu vrkodara vidha gadha bhimasha Bhag Noru Dandha Dhrta Rashtraputre Bhatu Puryam Drauni Iti Sma Pashyan Krishna Sutanam Svapatam Shiramsi Upaharad Vipriyam Evatasya Jugupsitam Karma Vigarhayanti.
Someone please recite.
Yada mrde kaurava sunjayanam Vireshvato viragatim gateshu Vrkodara vidha gadha bhimarsha Bhagno dande dhritarashtraputre Bhatu priyan drauni iti sma pashyan Krishna Sutanam Svapatam Shiramsi Upaharad Vipriyam Evatasya Jugupshitam Karma Vigarhayanti Yada Mrde Kaurava Sunjayanam Vireshu ato viragatim gateshu Vrkodara vidha gadha bhimarsha Bhakno rudande dhritarashtraputre Bhatu priyam drauniti sma pashyan Krishna Sutanam Svapatam Sirashi Upaharad Vipriyam Evatasya Jugupshitam Karma Vigarhayanti Yata Mrde Kaurava Sunjayanam Vireshvato viragatim gateshu Vrkodara vidha gadha bhimarsha Bhakno rudande dhritarashtraputre Bhatrupayam Drauni iti sma pashyan. Krishna sutanam swapatam siramshi. Upaharat vipriyame vatasya. Jugupshitam karma vigahayanti.
Okay, thank you. Translation. When the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destinations, and when the sons of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasena, the son of Dronacharya Ashwatthama beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered them as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking that he would be pleased. Duryodhana, however, disapproved of the heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. Purport.
Transcendental topics of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam begin from the end of the battle at Kurukshetra, where the Lord Himself spoke about Himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendental topics of Lord Krishna. The Gita is Krishna Katha, or topics of Krishna, because it is spoken by the Lord, and the Bhagavatam is also Krishna Katha because it is spoken about the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to be informed of both Krishna Kathas by his order.
Lord Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the garb of a devotee of Krishna, and therefore the version of both Lord Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are identical. Lord Chaitanya desired that all who are born in India seriously understand such Krishna Kathas, and then, after full realization, preach the transcendental message to everyone in all parts of the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity of the stricken world.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Today's class will be based on the italized line in the purport. Lord Chaitanya desired that all who are born in India seriously understand such Krishna Kathas, and then, after full realization, preach the transcendental message to everyone in all parts of the world. So in today's class we'll be seeing what is the duty of an Indian. Okay. Actually, Kalakanta Prabhu told I am the best person to speak this because I am simultaneously an Indian and not an Indian. Because I'm actually Malaysian. Does anyone know which verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita is this?
The meaning? I don't remember the verse properly.
Bharata Bhumitre Haila Manusya Janma Yara Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Upakara. The meaning is, those who are born in the land of India, they have the duty of performing the highest welfare activity for all the humanity. And what is the highest welfare activity? Yes, to spread Krishna consciousness, to preach Krishna consciousness. Okay, so today, before we see the in detail this section of how one can preach Krishna consciousness, I want to first show what the scholars view, how modern scholars view India and its contribution to the world. Can someone read first?
We owe a lot to the Indians who taught us how to count, without which no worthwhile scientific discovery could have been made. Albert Einstein.
India is the cradle of the human race, the birthplace of human speech, the mother of history, the grandmother of legend, and the great-grandmother of tradition. Mark Twain.
If there is one place on the face of the earth where all dreams of living men have found a home from the very earliest days when man began the dream of existence, it is India. French scholar Romanian Rollard.
India conquered and dominated China culturally for 20 centuries without ever having to send a single soldier across her border. Hun Xin, former Chinese ambassador to U.S.
So these are some of the many different opinions of scholars about the greatness of India and its contribution to the world. However, even though they knew this when British first came to India, they found one of the biggest challenge to conquer or to dominate the people in India is their strong culture. So what they did is they thought that if we want to control these people, first thing we have to do is to make them feel ashamed of their own culture, make them feel inferior. So British very systematically they hired great scholars like Max Müller, and they learned the Sanskrit language, they learned the Vedas, and they misinterpreted these scriptures and presented it to the Indians such a way that Indians feel ashamed. And to some extent, they were very successful. Okay? Even until today we can see many Indians, they feel that they feel ashamed, they feel inferior, they think Indian culture, tradition, Vedas are nothing but a set of superstitious values. It's full with mythology and has no practical value, and that's why many Indians today are trying to look towards the West. Okay, they think that becoming West is advancing, being an Indian is not being advanced. There's a saying in Chinese language, okay, a proverb in Chinese language which says that that which is gold, if you are gold, you will shine sooner or later. So that is what India is. India is a... India's values cannot be... Can I keep this step? Okay. The glories of India, even though when the British and Westerners come and they try to suppress it, but eventually it came out. Okay, and today we can see, despite of so many negative propaganda, even though Westerners don't really give the credit to India, but many things that has origin from Indian basis, Indian culture, origin from Vedas, are becoming very popular in the West. Can we think of any examples? Yoga? Ayurveda? Anything else? Astrology? Vastu? In a way, it's correct. Most of the initial, like Hotmail and many things that the pioneers are Indians, actually. And some, even Hotmail, the messenger, it was initially developed by an Indian. I just want to tell a short story. In Malaysia is it's a Muslim country. So they have a law to govern the Muslims in Malaysia. So they are not free to do everything. A few years back, when the government realized many Muslims are practicing yoga, and they found this is an Indian Hindu, based on Hindu religion, so it's not proper for them to practice that. So they came out with a law that Muslims cannot practice yoga. And there was so much opposition, they finally agreed, okay, Muslims can practice yoga, but just make sure you don't chant the certain mantras. So my point is, we can see, even though they try to, you know, the general perception, Indians are so backward, this and that, but still so many things are attractive, they are taking it up. Okay, one more thing that I want to emphasize is also the lifestyle. You know, in traditionally in India, they have the idea of simple living, high thinking, whereas in Western consumerism is completely the opposite. Okay, Indians, the lifestyle is keep your necessities minimum, your possessions minimum, and so that you don't complicate your life and focus on something higher. Whereas in the West, they try to maximize your possessions as far as possible. You know, as much as you can afford, buy things and spend as much as you can and enjoy. And if you have the courage, spend more than what you can afford. Okay, and the logic they give is if you spend more, you're actually encouraging the economy, you're creating more job opportunities and things like this. But somehow for me, it really doesn't make any sense. Okay, it seems like someone who's digging a ditch, and you ask the person, why are you digging the ditch? And he's telling, oh, I'm digging so that I'll get money, so that I can eat. And why do you want to get money and eat? So that I can get strength to dig more ditch. So it's like there's no goal, there's nothing higher, just keep doing the same thing. But recently, actually, I came across an article Lakshmi sent me last year, where Westerners... They are realizing that this... Okay, I won't read this article, obviously, it's too long. But in this article, basically, it's from New York Times, okay? And they are realizing that just spending is not going to make one happy. And the whole article is a four-page article where they are analyzing from different scholars and different point of view how simple living will help one to become happier, okay? But here they are basically speculating. They have no idea how to do that. So they're taking different ideas. They're thinking maybe we should do this, we should minimize this. Whereas this idea, if you go to India, even an Indian villager knows how to make one happy. Because it's there in the Vedic culture. The Varnashram system is specifically designed to simplify the life and make our life more happier. Make our life happier. So, this shows India has a lot to offer to the world, which the world is seeking. They're actually struggling. The whole article, they're struggling to identify what is that will make one happy. But they couldn't find it. And Indian culture has it intrinsically. Okay? So these are different ways of how India can contribute to the world. Okay, having said this, what do we think the highest contribution India can give to the world? Okay. It can give Krishna consciousness. If I want to put more specifically, the Dharma of the Yuga. Okay. In Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, there's a description of how in today's lifestyle, it's full with miseries. People are just stressed with everything and things are becoming very, very bad. Okay. And then Bhagavatam says, in all the previous yugas, there are different methods by which one can understand the absolute truth and come out from the day-to-day problems. Okay, in Satya Yuga, what is the method? Okay, yeah. In Satya Yuga, by the process of meditation, one can realize the higher truth. In second yuga is? Treta Yuga, what is the method? Fire sacrifice. And then? Dwapara Yuga is worshipping the Lord, deity worship, huge temple worships. But then in Kali Yuga, it's quite difficult to do all these things because we need a lot of time, we need a lot of resources, we need to have much more pleasant environment. None of that is available. So we need more intelligence. So it's very difficult for one who is born in Kali Yuga to remain peaceful and to achieve the higher goal. So Bhagavatam says, then the next verse Bhagavatam says, what's the verse? Kale dosha nide rajan. Okay, Sugadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, my dear king, there's no doubt this Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. Kale dosha nide rajan. Hasti hi eko mahat gunan. But there's one great quality in this Yuga. Okay, there's one quality. Just because of this one quality, actually all the problems are minimized. Okay, you need not worry about anything. You can solve every problem because if you can take up this one process. And also this one quality makes Kali Yuga actually much, much more higher than... That one quality actually is much better than all the other qualities that exist in all other yugas. Okay, what is that quality? Hare Krishna. Lakshmi, what's the verse? Yeah, and how to do that, Chaitanya Mataji? Okay. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the process by which one can easily come across the problems in Kali Yuga and obtain the highest truth. Param Vrajit. Last line? Mukta Sangha Param Vrajit. Okay. Kalau Dosha Nide Rajan Asti Heko Mahat Gunan Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajit. Okay, so having said this, okay, so now this knowledge is stated in the scriptures, and that is the solution for all the problems. But scriptures are not available for, especially in the past, scriptures were only studied by the priestly orders, and they are not available for mass public. So how to distribute this to the everyone? And Bhagavatam tells how this knowledge should be distributed to everyone. In another verse, it is explained, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishna Sango Pangashta Parashadam Yaknye Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Sumedha Saha. It explains that to distribute this knowledge, to distribute this Yuga Dharma to the whole world, in the future, Lord Krishna himself will descend as Lord Chaitanya, okay? And he will take this knowledge and distribute it to the entire world. So that is a prediction made by Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, and true enough, 5,000 years after Bhagavatam was spoken, that prophecy became true. In India, in the year of 1486, Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he revealed this truth, which was hidden in the scriptures and only known to those who study the scriptures. He broke the truth to everyone. He traveled from practically entire India, and he didn't have any discrimination of caste or anything, and he gave the knowledge to everyone, and he made everyone to chant the holy name of the Lord. So in this way, the chanting of Chaitanya Mataji, please chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, became available to the entire India. Okay. But the question remains that this is Yuga Dharma, which means it is a dharma for the entire world, not just India. And Lord Chaitanya just gave it to the Indians. So, and Bhagavatam says it will be distributed to the entire world. I'm sorry. So before Lord Chaitanya left, okay, this is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Mangal. He made a prediction, another prediction. He told how this knowledge will be distributed to the whole world, and he told, Yadi papi chari dharma dure deshe yaya mora senapati bhakta yaibe tathaya. Okay, the second line is important. Where Lord Chaitanya is telling, in the future I'll send my devotee, and he's known here as? What is the meaning of senapati? Ambassador, commander. Okay, he's not an ordinary devotee, he's a very powerful devotee. He's like a commander among my devotees. He will come and at that time give the entire world Krishna consciousness. So this is what Lord Chaitanya told before he left. And he said the result of it is that, can you recite?
Prithvi te ache yata nagaradi gram sarvatra pracharo hoive mora naam. In every town and village the chanting of my name will be heard.
So when this special devotee comes and distributes, The names of Krishna won't be just restricted to India, but it will be chanted in every town and villages in entire world. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So then a few hundred years passed and there's no any evidence of someone who's coming. In fact, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, in one sense became very much contaminated. Because practically he gave the highest teaching, and if someone takes it cheaply, it will become easily contaminated. And that's what were happening. Until another great devotee by the name of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay? He came, he's a very intelligent devotee and very influential. He was High Court Magistrate during the British time in India. And he actually studied all the different religions, and finally when he studied the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he found this has the highest truth. Okay? Then he came across this prediction of Lord Chaitanya that someone will come and spread this to the entire world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that this is going to become true soon. He had so much confidence in the statement of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in one of his publications, he wrote as follows.
Very soon the unparalleled path of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the world. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German and American people will take up banners, mridangas and kartals and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come?
So just imagine, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing this when India was actually a colony of British. So he must be very bold to say this statement, and it also shows how much faith he had in the statements of the scriptures. Okay? Usually we try to, when we see something in the scriptures that doesn't make sense, we try to reconcile it with what's happening. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew that the world will change, scriptures won't change. So he made this statement, it will become true when English, French, Russian, German, American, Peruvian also. They will all chant the holy names of the Lord. Okay? So, after this, the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, known as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made the first step to make this possible. If you want to teach this to the entire world, you must first have a organized institution so that you can very systematically preach. So he started Gaudiya Math, and he was preaching very successfully in India. He also tried to send some of his leading disciples to the West, but it wasn't very successful. Most of them went and they told it's very difficult, their culture is completely different and we can't do this. Okay. Then in 1896, in 1896, Abhay Charan, Srila Prabhupada, was born. Okay, and at the year of 1922, one of friend of Prabhupada invited him to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when Prabhupada met him, at that point of time, Prabhupada had no idea who is this person. He just went out to see him because his friend forced him to come. When Prabhupada saw, the first thing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him was, he told, you are an intelligent young man, you should preach in the Western countries, you should preach in English. Just imagine you are meeting someone, the person immediately telling you what you should do for your life. Okay? And Prabhupada was taken aback. Then Prabhupada asked him, at that point, India was a subject of British, and Prabhupada was also quite involved in Gandhi movement. So Prabhupada told, it's fine, we can preach this to the West, but they are not going to respect us, we are just a colony. No, first we should get independence, become a powerful nation, then if we go out and we speak, they will listen. So Prabhupada put this argument in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta completely disagreed with Prabhupada. What did he say?
Krishna consciousness cannot wait for any sort of material independence. It's independent of all these material designations.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. He told, this politics will keep changing, but Krishna consciousness cannot change. And another thing is that it's not something to do with Indian, frankly speaking. It's the actual culture of the soul. So all we need to do is go and preach. Anyone who hears and understands it, they'll take it as theirs. They are not like taking another person's culture. Okay? So when Prabhupada heard this, he felt he was defeated. Okay? I was just thinking, if you listen to Prabhupada's conversations, he's a very, very strong person. Can you imagine Prabhupada being defeated? Never. And it's just very difficult to imagine someone talking, Prabhupada is telling, yeah, that's true. He knows, he's very sharp, he knows what he's talking about. And this is one circumstance when Prabhupada felt I was defeated. And he felt very happy about it. Because to be defeated by such a great person is a great thing. And Prabhupada took that statement seriously. He went back and he spent, he had his family, his business. So he spent some time taking care of his business, but he was always contemplating on this. And when the time came, Prabhupada finally took his renounced order, Vanaprastha and then Sannyas. And in 1965, okay, at that time Prabhupada was around 70 years old, and he decided, I should be bring this culture to the West, to America, USA, and fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. So with full confidence on his spiritual master, he struggled a lot to get his visa and to get all the arrangement to go to US. Okay. In fact, the person who's supposed to make the arrangement warned him. She told him, you are very old. If you go to US, you won't be able to convince anyone. The only thing will happen is you will die in US. But Prabhupada had complete faith. He told, no matter whatever happens, I'll go and fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. And he traveled to US. Okay. He had 3 heart attacks and he came with practically nothing, only Bhagavatam and 40 rupees. Okay. And he came to the United States and he struggled for many, many years. And at that point of time in US, there was the hippie culture. People were also looking for something new. They have understood that this material life is useless, but they didn't know what to do and they were trying all weird things. So when Prabhupada came, due to Krishna's arrangement, everything matched and people took up this devotional service. Okay, and then the prediction of Lord Chaitanya became true. Okay, so that is the greatest contribution. Okay, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very soon the unparalleled part of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the world. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German and American people will take up banners, mridangas, kartals and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? And that day became true. Okay. Slowly from US, it spread all over the world. So, this is actually the contribution of India to the world. Okay. And Prabhupada made this possible. And once the essential thing is spread all over the world, we find that many other cultural aspects also were accepted by the West, like the dressings. Today we can see Westerners wearing sari and vegetarian food, prasadam. What and other things then? Tilakma. Music. So the places, holy places in India becoming more famous. So that's the effect of spreading the holy name to the West. Okay, now we have the entire movement. Okay, now I'm going to end this class by reading the purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sorry. Okay, we'll read the last 2 paragraphs.
Practical effect of our spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. This is only one Indian's humble service to the world. If all Indians had taken to this path as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India would have been glorified. Now, however, India is known as a poverty-stricken country, and whenever anyone from America or another opulent country goes to India,
He sees many people lying by the footpaths for whom there are not even provisions for two meals a day. There are also institutions collecting money from all parts of the world in the name of welfare activities for poverty-stricken people, but they are spending it for their own sense gratification.
Now, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna conscious movement has been started and people are benefiting from this movement. Therefore, it is now the duty of the leading men of India to consider the importance of this movement and train many Indians to go outside of India to preach this cult. People will accept it. There will be cooperation among the Indian people and among the other people of the world, and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be glorified all over the world, and people will naturally be happy, peaceful and prosperous, not only in this life but also in the next. For as stated in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will easily get salvation or freedom from the repetition of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requests every Indian to become a preacher of his cult to save the world from disastrous confusion.
How about Americans who are preaching? Isn't that their duty to preach? Okay. So this was during Lord Chaitanya's time, that treasure was only available to Indians. So Lord Chaitanya requested Indians to bring this out to the world. And now since Prabhupada has brought it to the world and he has given this to the whole world, it's the duty of everyone from the entire world to preach Krishna consciousness. Okay, that's what Prabhupada says in the next paragraph. Can we read that also?
This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. We are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all of humanity, for all of human society, is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35, which is next quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay, so I just want to end with a short story of how much Prabhupada actually appreciated Westerners compared to Indians. And if you see, the entire movement in the initial days was mostly supported by the Westerners. Oh, one time there was a... Prabhupada wanted to publish Back to Godhead. And I think there wasn't a Back to Godhead in the Indian language. So one Indian guy came to Prabhupada and told, why there's no Back to Godhead in Hindi or Bengal, I'm not sure. Prabhupada told, Indians have to do this and Indians won't do. And he told Prabhupada, I will do. Prabhupada told, no, Indians won't do, don't worry. Told, no, Prabhupada, I will do that, I'll do for you. He told, Indians won't do. Then Prabhupada told, Indians will only talk too much. They talk too much, but they won't do it. Then he defended, he told, not all Indians are like that. Prabhupada looked at him, yeah, that's true, but 99.9% fall into that category. Then he again insisted, he told, I'll do. Prabhupada told, you will say you'll do, but when your daughter's marriage comes, you'll leave. So it has a truth till some extent. Indians, as I think Lakshmi Mataji often says, that the obstacles for Indians is dharma. They have so much religious obligations that will actually be an obstacle for preaching. Whereas for Westerners, the obstacle is their... I think Lakshmi Mataji used the word karma. Their conditioning, which can be an obstacle. So the best thing is to have a combination to cooperate. That's what Prabhupada wanted. He said, like a blind leading a blind and a lame person. Indians have the vision, but they don't really have the strength. Americans have strength. Sometimes Prabhupada even says, what's the use of being an American if you can't do something big? And so when they combine together, like what happened in ISKCON, Prabhupada has the vision. He might be old, but he was supported by all his disciples and they could conquer the entire world. So things may change. Like Kalakanta Prabhu recently told, now things are becoming opposite. Americans are having the visions and Indians are coming towards best. So the main thing is everyone should cooperate and preach Krishna consciousness, and that will make the world happy. Hare Krishna. Any question?
Yes,
Any comment, Chaitanya Mataji?
I enjoyed your class, Prabhu. Thank you very much. In the West, you know, there was such an explosion when the pure devotee came and